Hello, everybody. Welcome to number 27 of Sean Hammer. Today we'll be going over, I would say a little bit, but all of the Vampire Counts Army book. But first, let's get done with some little housekeeping, so to speak. First and foremost, don't forget about the Dreadnought competition running on Sean Hammer here. What I'm asking is a iTunes review and email about how I can make the show a little bit better. And I'm going to take at random one of the entries, and the winner will receive a Warhammer 40K Dreadnought from the Assault on Black Reach. I'll also paint that Dreadnought up in their army-specific colors or what chapter they want it to be in. If you've already sent an iTunes review, all you got to do is send a email with a in the subject line Dreadnought Contest, if you could, and they'll get you entered. And I believe I said June 12th was going to be the deadline for that before I pick out something. As well as you can also, if you don't wish to enter the contest, you can leave an iTunes review. Very appreciated if you would. You can also contact me at SeanHammer9@yahoo.com. I respond to every email. And if you just want to call and say hi, tell me how I'm doing, or tell me what I need to do, I'd be very appreciated. You can also follow me on Twitter. And you'd be my friend, I guess, on the Sean Hammer site, as well as on my battalion, where I'll be putting some pictures pretty soon. I just got to get off my behind and start taking pictures of what I have. Well, that's a little bit of my ploy to get some more social networking. And what have I done this week in hobby? I haven't played anything. I was going to play some Star Wars last week, but my ferret got sick. My wife has been kicking ass on painting me some Wood Elf stuff. She's doing a really fine job, and I'm trying to get motivated to follow behind her. But she's doing a fine job. Like I said, I'll take some pictures of stuff and get my tree man up on the website, and you can see what fine job she's doing. So I'd like to say thank you, baby. And let's go ahead and get on to this week's episode. First and foremost, we have the Vampire Counts Army Book. The beginning's the whole little thing of what the people call fluff. I'm sorry, Tanya. She doesn't like hearing that word. I don't know why, but anyway. We go into Undead Special Rules. As for the new players, this will be informative for you. For the old players, you know all this, and you've experienced or play it yourself. I like to say, too, that Vampires is probably the most fantasy army out there, in my opinion. I mean, what other army in fantasy can you play just an army, hordes of undead, and it's just with the vampires and stuff? It's very fantasy-driven. So I like to say this is the fantasy army, in my opinion. Plus, Army of Darkness played a big part of it. I dig it. Anyway, let's get on to Undead Special Rules. We have Immune to Psychology. All undead models cause fear. Undead units that aren't within 6 inches of a model with a vampire special rule, or 12 inches of the general, at the start of the movement phase, can't march move. Undead can't be broken. They take extra wounds if they're beaten and stuff. For every point that they're beaten by in combat, they take a crumbling wound. The armor saves are loud against it and such. If the general's destroyed, the army will slowly fade away. You take a leadership test, and what you fail by, you start taking crumbling. God forbid, don't ever let your general die. I've had it happen a couple times, being ballsy with my vampire lord out there on top of the winged nightmare. I did kill a treatment on top of that, though, but still. They got the battle standard. Units that are within 12 inches of the battle standard suffer one less wound when defeated in combat or when suffering casualties because of the general's death. Alright, well, that said, we'll get up to the... We'll kind of go in order here. We got the Lore of Vampires. We have a couple A couple handy spells. We have the Raise Dead. Allows you to successfully raise units of zombies. Or actually, Invocation Neek. Or Neek. It's a vampire spell that comes with them. Allows you to, Boy, God, I play vampires. I'm going brain dead here, everybody. But anyway, let's screw magic right now. We'll come back to that. And we'll go ahead and, before we get into heroes, I like to go over bloodline powers. Or vampiric powers. It used to be called bloodline, God forbid. And this is kind of like a special magic list for your heroes and everything. Except that this adds in addition, to the magic, magic weapons. Sorry, God. First, we have in the vampiric powers. We have what they call the severed, or severed, or whatever. All these hit point values, and just go over a few that I think are. I'll just go through them all. Screw it. We have spectral form. Units ether on the vampire's ethereal, however, it may not join ethereal units, or can it be mounted or take any magic items. 50 points. Me personally, I always look over this. For 25 points, we have Ghoulkin. If your army consists of any vampires with this power, your units decrypt ghouls and accompanying characters can make a march move before the game. The moves made before deployment and before the dice roll to see who gets the first turn. Very handy, especially if you're ghoul spamming. We have Natural Horror for 25 points. The vampire causes terror. Next little group, we have the Arcane. For 50 points, we have Master of the Black Arts. The vampire generates an additional 2 power dice for itself in its magic phase. For 35 points, we have Forbidden Lore. In addition to Invocation of Neek, the vampire knows all the spells from either Lord of Vampires or any lores of the Warhammer rulebook, except for Lore of Life. Yeah, I guess it makes sense. And we have Dark Acolyte for 30 points. Vampire has an additional magical level. Next is your the Bestial. Anyway. We have Flying Horror, 30 points. Vampire has Fly. Infinite Hatred for 25 points. The vampire hates all enemies and may reroll fail 2 hits in every round of close combat. And we have Hunter in the Dark. If on foot, the vampire has Scout special rule, 25 points. Here we have the Marshal, which is, I think, is actually where the good ones are. 50 points, we had Red Fury. For each unsaved wound the vampire causes, it gets him immediately make an additional attack. These additional attacks do not benefit from the Red Fury rule, and they cannot be combined with the Great Weapon. Not too shabby, but does allow your vampire a little bit of killing ability. The other two, I'm not too sure that I like. Actually, they put them as vampiric powers, but they did. The Vampire Wears for Avatar of Death for 20 points. The vampire wears heavy armor, is armed with a Great Weapon, hand weapon and shield, or 2 hand weapons. For 25 points, we have the Dread Knight. The vampire has a lance, heavy armor, and a shield, and a Bard of Nightmare. Yeah, I'm not sure. I like it being able to buy it in the vampire's descriptions, but I guess I see where they're coming from. You can't give them too many special abilities. They have the Courtly. And in that, we have the Aura of Dark Majesty for 50 points. Enemy units within 6 inches or more of a vampire suffer a -1 penalty to their leadership. Cumulative with any other modifiers. We have Walking Death. The presence of one or more vampires with his power adds +1 to the side's combat resolution, 25 points. So he is a walking war banner. Beguile for 25 points. At the beginning of close combat, after challenges, select one model in contact with a vampire. The vampire may reroll to wound against the chosen model unless the target passes a leadership test with a -3 modifier. Remember that also the Aura of Dark Majesty can play into that. Then, finally, we have the Master. And those we have Lord of the Dead. For 15 points, You get a plus one when you're casting rolls of using Invocation the Heek on these units. 15 points, we have Summon Creatures of the Night. Allows you to use the Invocation the Heek to increase units of Dire Wolves, Bat Swarms, and Fell Bats beyond their starting size, and adds a plus one to the casting roll when casting Invocation the Heek on these units. Summon Ghouls, 15 points as well. Same thing as the other two, except it's per ghouls. Not too shabby. Let's go over some magic items of worth. Next, of course, we have the War Banner, 25 points. Those are in common magic items. But here we go for magical weapons in the Vampire Artifacts of Death. We have the Frostblade for 100 points. Really expensive, but if a model suffers one or more wounds from the Frostbite, after saves, etc., they are slain outright and lose all remaining wounds. One trick pony, but I have seen it. 40 points, we have the Blood Drinker. For each unsaved wound inflicted by the Blood Drinker, the wielder immediately regains a single wound suffered early in the battle as the Invocation of the Heek has been cast on them. Not too shabby. That's one I see here and there. Sword of Kings, 25 points. This will go on a White King. And the weapon is Killing Blow. Special rule given to White King. It scores a Killing Blow on a 5+. Very good. And we'll get a Tomb King. A White King is Tomb King. Bite my tongue. White King is pretty damn handy in this list as well. Even though he's not a vampire, he's a nice solid unit leader. We'll get to that in a moment. We have the Tomb Blade for 25 points. If the bearer is in a unit of Skeleton Warriors, for each model he slays in close combat, you raise a skeleton, equipped the same as the one you had before. Not too shabby. And that's about, well, that's a good amount of the magic items we went through. But those one is worth going over. Next, we have the Magic Armor. Now, we have the Flayed Hallbrick, 25 points. It gives the warrior +2 armor save, cannot be improved by any means. Let's see. We have the Wallach's Bloody Hallbrick, I don't know, 45 points. 5 plus armor save, 5 plus war save. You'll see this one flying around a lot. And that's about it, except for the Night Shroud. Maybe you'll see once in a while. 20 points is light armor, and enemies wishing to attack the warrior lose all charging bonuses, lose always strike first rule if they have it, and initiative is reduced to 1. Not too shabby. It's light armor, though. Enchanted items, one you'll see a lot, is the Helm of Commandment. For 30 points, if the warrior is not in combat, one friendly undead unit within 12 inches, not the mounts, may use his weapon skill instead of their own for that close combat phase. Please, once we start getting a weapon skill of undead units, you understand why you'll start to see this over and over. Let's see. Then it's the Cursed Book is another one. It's a one use only, 20 points. For one round of combat, the enemy models are reduced to weapon skill 1 when rolling to hit the bearer. Not too bad. Not the greatest, but not the worst. We got the Karstein Ring. Not as handy as I believe we have seen it in the past. But 75 points, we're going to pass that up. These are in the Talisman section. We have the Crown of the Damned for 35. The bearer gets a 4 plus ward save, but the bearer is subject to stupidity. It's a gamble there. We have the Wristbands Black Gold for 30 points. Grants the bear a 3 plus ward save against ranged attacks of any kind, including war machines, templates, magic missiles, etc. I use this a lot. I run my vampire on a Wing Nightmare off by himself. Abyssal Terror. Sorry. Used to be called the Wing Nightmare. Old habits, hard to break. Next, we have Arcane Items. We're going to see a lot out there. The Book of Archon for 35 points. It's a bound spell, power level 3. The item cast of Van Hell's Dance Macabre. Roll each time the book is used, and a 1 is power exhausted. That's about it from that. We'll see that. Now for standards, what's a big list? The biggest list in the whole book here, actually. So, for 125, you'll see this on a BSB, is a Drakenoff banner. Unit gains regeneration. Second banner up, we have the flag of Bloodkeep. Grants the unit a 4+4 save against ranged attacks, including war machines, templates, magic missiles, etc. Nice, especially if you can put them on your Blood Knights. Banner of the Barrels. I run this all the time, especially my whites or my black guards. Engrave Guard Black Knights and White Kings in the unit, not the mounts, receive a +1 to hit in close combat. They don't hit on a 3+, like the old Banner of the Barrels. Or they just get a +1. There's a few other good little banners here. The Banner of the Dead Legion. The treats the unit carrying the banner as having twice the unit strength as it actually does. I don't think it's going to matter much more once 8th edition comes out. And they basically, in my opinion, nerfed the Fear Rule and they screw you on it. So we won't go too much on that until I get the book and I... we got the standard Hellish Vigor. 25 points. Unit can make a march move, as it were, within 6 inches of Vampire. Not bad if you're going to a nice flanking unit of cavalry or unit of skeletons. You want to get them up there and not actually have them rely on a Vampire being within 6 inches to get that pincer move, I think. But here's one banner I think is exceptionally useful. Banner of Hellfire. For 10 points, all close combat attacks made by models in the unit, not the mounts, are flaming magical attacks. At first I thought, well, it's not too bad. Then the Dark Elf book came out. And with that bastard Hydra, which I love so much, with the regeneration, it's pretty useful. Then we got the Hellbent Abomination, with its regeneration, pretty useful. We have Wood Elf Dryads. Everything. I mean, it's just like, not bad. Not bad for 10 points. And we're going to take a break here, and we're going to hear from word from our sponsor with my lovely wife doing the commercial for it. And we'll be right back, and we'll jump into the actual army list. See you in a minute.
Cool City Games, Blue Water's most complete source for miniature wargaming and sports cards. Cool City Games offers a safe and friendly environment with free open gaming and up-to-date new releases, restocks, and hassle-free special orders. You can even put stuff in layaway. Cool City Games even offers box and case pricing on cards and collectible miniatures. Located in downtown Port Huron, that is in Michigan for all you out-of-towners, Jeff and Mike are available and ready to serve all your hobby needs. Stop by at 724 Huron Avenue or visit on the web at www.coolcitygames.com.
Well, we're back, and first we'll go into Lords. And first of all, we won't go over special characters much because most of the times you can't play special characters and it's... I go over them. But we have Vampire Lord running in at 205 points with a movement 6, weapon skill 7, ballistic skill strength and toughness of 5, 3 wounds, 7 initiative, 4 attacks, and leadership 10. This bad boy's level 2 vampire and no spells from the Lord of Vampires. He has a hand weapon. Special rules are undead and vampire. He can have magic items up to 100 points. You can have vampiric powers as well, as a total of 100 points. And you can boost his magic level once only for 50 points. He can ride an assortment of different creatures, which are the Nightmare, the Hellsteed, the Abyssal Terror, which is my personal favorite, and the Zombie Dragon. Pretty damn handy. The Army General, it's really hard not to go crazy and have... him all tooled up for combat and go kill stuff. And he could face utter destruction. And your army's going to fall apart. And I don't know. I'm at a standstill on this. I tool up my vampire with the Red Fury usually. The Dread Knight, throw me in a Black Knights. Or also by himself on a Abyssal Terror. And I just kill with him. I don't know. And a couple times he's bit me in the ass where he's died and my army crumbles like a mother. But he's really great. Next up we have Necromancer. Level 1. You can upgrade him for Necromancy spell, 15 points. Still a level 1. He doesn't gain a level. He has, you can take common vampire items up to 50 points. His mount's pretty unique. He can actually be on a nightmare, which is crap, on foot, which is crap, or on a corpse cart. And we'll get to the corpse cart in a bit, and that's how I feel my necromancer most of the time. Because if I do run a necromancer, I'm not laying. He's not worth anything. He's basically threes for everything minus wounds and movement and leadership. It's not that great. We have heroes. We have a vampire, 100 points. Basically, your standard hero level, where you would cut in half the vampiric powers and magic items by 50 points. He's a level 1 wizard, can be up to level 2. No, he can't. Just excuse me, I'm a liar. He's not bad. He's running around with 3 attacks, weapon skill 6, strength 5, toughness 4. Nice, solid character to go out and do your killing. This one I like. We have the White King for 75 points. I'm torn. Sometimes he's a BSB. Other times he's just leading. Usually my Black Knights. He's got a weapon skill 4, strength 4, but he's got 5 toughness and 3 attacks with leadership 9. He comes with a hand weapon, heavy armor, and shield. He actually comes with his equipment, unlike the vampire who has to spend his bloodline powers, the vampiric powers, to get those things. He can have a great weapon for 10 points. He can have a lance for 12. He can have an additional hand weapon for 8. He can ride a skeletal steed, and it can have barding, and he can have 50 points of magic items. Nice, solid character here. I've got nothing bad to say about him. I'm only good. Wow. He's a really good character. Well, we're on the core now. We have a zombie horde for 4 points per model. They have the undead, the shambling horde rule, and newly dead special rules. Okay, the shambling horde is zombies never pursue. When a unit fleeing from contact with zombies suffers D6 strength 2 hits for each rank of 5 or more zombies. And not too shabby. Excuse me. And they got the newly dead. Units of zombies cannot be joined by characters, unfortunately. And they raise D6 plus 4 instead of the normal D6 when the invocation of Heek is used for them. Not too bad. You can have one musician, one standard bearer. No magic, standard. 4 points per model, though. Not too bad. The models themselves actually suck. Too large and bulky and don't look right. This book actually made me go out and buy 2 boxes of zombies. Not too happy about it because I'm a Skeleton Warrior fan. But, yeah, it is what it is. Next up, we have Skeleton Warriors for 8 points per model. Hand weapon, light armor, shield. They come with that. They have special rule undead. Strength and toughness 3. Wounds 1. Attacks 1. And the rest of it's 2s minus movement. You can have a champion, standard bearer, musician, and it can carry a standard up to 25 points. Not too shabby considering that every unit of Skeleton Warriors you have can actually take a magic standard, so it's pretty handy. Next up, we have the Crypt Ghouls for 8 points. I'm a little torn on these guys. In the past editions, they used to be skirmished. I love that. They did a little tweak. I've caught some flack before for saying that they suck. I've used them here and there. The new models look good, though. So, I'm trying a little bit of the ghoul spamming, so to speak. Raising the ghouls, using the one vampiric power to boost them up, using the Helm of Commandment to give the weapon skill. So, I'm trying. these guys here, they have weapon skill 3, strength 3, toughness 4, which is handy. 1 wound, 3 initiative, 2 attacks, and leadership 5. Problem is, they have no standard bearer, no musician, and no armor. You can upgrade 1 to a ghast for 8 points, which is basically just adding you another attack. They got no weapons or armor except for their filth encrusted claws. But they do have poison attacks. I'm trying to use more. The new models look good, and it will go from there. Next up is one unit I can't stop using is the Direwolves. For 8 points per model, we have a movement 9, weapon skill 3, strength, toughness 3, initiative 1, wounds 1, initiative 3, attacks 1, leadership 3. Fast cavalry unit for 8 points a model. A little bit better in the past, but I use these guys a lot to screen everything, and I like using what I call my beast flank. And I'll get to that in a minute. At the end, I'll tell you what I like to do with them, and it'll make sense. Next up, we have Bat Swarms for 35 points per model. Crap. Movement 1 on the ground, 10 if you're flying, not 20. They don't count towards your minimum cover requirements. Undead flying unit, cloud of horror, blah, blah, blah. Weapon skill 3, strength 2, toughness 2, 4 wounds. I guess if you got to have them, they're nice. They do look nice to actually have some bats on the table. Except having I don't know. Next up, we do have the corpse cart. This doesn't count towards the minimum. And either did the dire wolf, so let me throw that in there. The corpse cart, pretty unique. Actually, is unique to this book. It's 75 points. It's got 4 movement, 2 weapon skill, 2 strength, 4 toughness, 3 wounds, 1 initiative, 2d6 attacks, and leadership 7. It's got armor saving throw of a 5+. It's got undead. It's got regeneration, miasma of death, leave vigor. And you can have one of the unholy lodestones or bellfire, which we'll get to that right here. I always throw my necromancer on here. It's a neat looking unit. It came with a battalion box set too, so I have a hard time when I buy stuff not to play with it. The miasma of deathly vigor. It's a bound spell, power level 3, and if it's successfully cast, all friendly undead units within 6 inches, including the corpse card itself, have the always strike first rule until the start of the next friendly magic phase. Not too shabby. I like it a lot, but people don't like to always strike first, so they're always dispelling it. let's see, it can have balefire for each corpse cart with it. Balefire within 24 inches of enemy wizards, they suffer a -1 modifier to their casting rolls when attempted to cast spells, and unholy lodestone. If a friendly unit within 6 inches of one or more unholy lodestones, including the corpse guard, is targeted by the invocation of Neek, the unit gains an additional wound. Very good. Like I said, you always see me running one with a necromancer on it because it makes it really nice. it brings a little bit more of a feeling of scroll caddy to it when you throw it in the corpse cart. 2 dispel scrolls, 1 necromancer, and a corpse cart. That's what you see me use. I'm sticking by it. So next up, we have the Grave Guard. I like them. I've always liked them. And I wish you could have run these would be core instead of special. But anyway, Movement 4, Weapon Skill 3, Strength and Toughness of 4, Wounds 1, 3 Initiative, 1 Attack, and 6 Leadership. They can have a full command and a magic banner up to 50 points. You can also exchange your shields for great weapons for 1 point apiece. And they come with a white blade. And they have the undead special roll. The white blade grants them, it's a magical attack that grants them killing blow. And friggin' fantastic. I love this unit. Love it a lot. Can't say enough. Except for its big brothers, the Black Knights, at 24 points per model. Basically, same guys on top of skeletal steeds that can add barding. And again, they have the magic standard worth up to 50 points. Problem I got with these two units is I only have one banner of the barrels, and I can only put on one unit. So it's a hit or miss which way to go. You'll see me throw my White King and unit of Black Knights more than I will Grave Guard. One thing about the skeletal steeds is they're insubstantial, which means is they're ethereal for points of moving. So it means you can run through a difficult terrain, impassable terrain. As long as you don't injure your movement inside of impassable terrain, you can do it. I think they're destroyed if you don't. I mean, if you do. And it allows you a nice flanking unit, especially if you have a vampire in it. Well, the problem is vampire can't be on a skeletal steed. If you have like the any model with a vampire special rule within 6 inches, such as the Vargoth, which we'll get to in a minute, Black Coach, such and such. And it makes for a nice flanking unit that's just going to ignore terrain. And a lot of times, the enemy's not even going to know or pay attention for it. And it's a beautiful thing to see the face when you got a unit of Black Knights rushing through like a river forward or something, and they didn't expect it to happen, and just throw off their whole day with it. Next up, we have Felbats for 20 points per model. Undead flying unit, teeth and claws, 2 attacks, weapon skill 3, strength, toughness 3, initiative 3, 2 wounds. They're okay. Really great, actually, for 20 points to have a flying unit on a larger base. I won't go anywhere without them. I wish they were a little bit stronger, but what do you expect for a bat? Next up, Spirit Hosts, 65 points per piece. They're undead and ethereal, 4 wounds, 3s on everything else, except for attacks and leadership and movement. And you won't see me run too much of these guys. They're great screeners for arrows against my other units, but for 65 points apiece, and they can be beaten in with combat resolution and die rather quickly, and you don't even need magic items to beat them in the combat resolution. You'll only see me using them when I if I cast the one big spell, the Wind of Death or such. Next we have rares. A couple of rare choices here. My favorite and foremost, probably the coolest rare choice, next to the Hydra, and it was before the Hydra, may I add you. It's running in the same points as the Hydra. We have the Vargoth. Movement 8, weapon skill 5, strength, toughness 5, 4 wounds, 2 initiative, 5 attacks, 4 leadership. Damn it, Games Workshop. He needs to have 5 wounds so he can break ranks. He's special rules undead. He's a vampire. He causes terror. He has bestial fury, which means he has no sides or rear, so you can never claim those bonuses against him. He regenerates, and he has hatred of all enemies. Basically, he's a pissed off vampire. He's what the Strigoli in the last edition was, when you add up all their stuff, but they just made it a model in this one. I like him. Sculpt is pretty cool. The Plangum's pretty cool. You'll see me run my Vargoth on a flank. This is what I call my beast flank, with a unit of Felbats and a couple units of Direwolves. And all together with a march moving, because the Vargoth's a vampire, I can have a couple units of Fast Cav, the Vargoth, and Felbats on the flank relatively quick. then either to the right or left to where I actually have that unit. I have the Black Knights following up, ignoring terrain and stuff. It leads up for a nice looking... It's fearful looking, actually. Ha ha ha. Fear. Get it. Anyway. Vargoth's awesome. Needs to have one more wound. Not as powerful as the Hydra, but for the vampire book, very nice. Next up, we have the Karn Wraiths for 50 points. These are Wraiths. 3 attacks, 2 wounds, ethereal, undead skirmishers. They cause terror. And that's okay in itself. But you can upgrade one of the Karn Wraiths for 25 points to a Banshee. And that's where the money's at, boys and girls. Banshee is the scream that can be done in close combat, stand and shoot reaction, etc. Doesn't need line of sight, so if you're on one side of the woods, they're on the other side of the woods. Basically, its scream is 2d6 plus 2, and what you roll with that modifier, you subtract their leadership from. And if what you beat them by is how many wounds that they take. Now, I heard recently someone... Well, we're not going to go on that. But, let's see. Ghostly Howl. Doesn't need line of sight. 2d6, but use highest leadership. You can use the leading character's general within 12 inches, blah, blah, blah. What's nice about this is units that are immune to psychology, it works on. And other undead units, or Tomb Kings for that matter, just remember what their leadership is and just relish in the fact that you'd be screaming models off the board. Next up, we have the Blood Knights. 55 points a model. You can upgrade them with full command. They have a Barter Nightmare, Undead, Vampire. They have Frenzy, they Martial Honor, which means any one of them can accept a challenge. If you have a leader in it, he has to take a challenge, has to issue one. Heavy armor, shield, hand weapon, lance. Pretty expensive, but run around with a 5 strength with a lance gets you 7 on the charge with basically 3 attacks. Yeah. The only bad thing about these is a lot of people bait these guys around, so they do nothing. They do the bait and flee or whatever it's called, and it's, because with Frenzy you have to charge, and the nice unit skirmishers or flyers, and like, aha, charge, and they're like, ah, we'll flee, and a bunch of bitches. Anyway, throw a couple units of wolves around them, so that way they don't have to, they got the wolves to screen them and stuff, and they don't have to charge, and the wolves can chase any things away until you're ready to wreak havoc and destruction with your Blood Knights. With that said, our last rare choice is the Black Coach. 200 points. Probably a lot of people have mixed feelings about the model itself. I think it's cool. Always have since the last edition. In the old edition, it used to only give you a plus one to your wounds when you did stuff. But they changed it in this one. It's a 6 toughness chariot that, you know, unfortunately, strength 7 can kill it. But it's got 4 plus ward save, 3 plus armor save. It causes terror, and it's also a vampire, which is pretty nice. It's got the Invocation of Death, and what that means is at the start of every magic phase, the Black Coach can absorb magical energies, blah, blah, blah. Any wizard within 6 inches of the Black Coach, so you roll dice, and any 6s, you steal their power or dispel dice away from them. And when you do that, you get this Invocation of Death effects chart. It's a build-up chart. You steal 1 dice. You get the Black Coach gets a plus 1 impact. Steal, it's a d6. Well, actually, anyway. 2, it builds up. It's a building power. The Wraith Driver and Steed's pulling it. Hate all enemies. 3 on the chart, we have Magic Resistance 3. 4, we have Blades and Fangs with green weapons. Anyway, the Steeds and Karn Wraith gains Killing Blow. 5, the Black Coach becomes Ethereal, which is pretty nice. And 6, it becomes a flyer. And I've seen this bastard get all six abilities rather quickly. I've seen the guy basically use his own spellcasters to suck up dice. And don't forget, it takes away the two dice that generated. Well, it has a possibility to take up to two dice as well that are generated. So that's it for the army book itself. These are one of the top three armies in tournaments that you'll see. We did Dark Elves before. Now we did Vampire Counts, and next up we'll do Demons as well. Now, how to play Vampires? Of course, the Vampire General is your staple point. You really have to protect them. You don't want to suffer the whole horrible crumbling effect. Use your strong units to soften up shit, basically. Your Vargolf, your Blood Knights, your Karn Race, and your Graveguard. You can do the trick for you. Nice, strong, heavy-hitting units. Your core choices, such as your Zombies, your Skeleton Hordes, and your Crypt Ghouls. A lot of table, quarter advancement on those. The strength of your army really lies within its magic and ability to raise things back up all the time. When in doubt, always take a champion in every unit you can, because what that's going to do for you is you got a killer out there and you're worried about this bastard slicing through like a full rank of guys. Challenge him. Either he takes the challenge or he doesn't. He's going to kill your champion. Your champion's nothing to write home about. But when you do the invocation to Heek, it actually goes in order where you raise the skeleton, the champion up back. And you can you do a lot of crap with that and mess with the army plans. Use your spells wisely. I mean, you get your raise dead. You can raise units of zombies. You got the Van Hale's Dance Macrobe, which allows you free movement. You got your Gazing on Nagash, which is a 2d6 strength 4 magic missile attack. Not bad at all. Curse of the Years, which is one of my favorite damaging spells. Enemies you cast on an enemy within 18 inches. Even when engaged in combat, and you roll a d6 for each model on the unit on a score of 6, it's dead. Next turn, spell keeps going, it remains in play. 5+, then 4+, and to a maximum of 2+, but no armor saves allowed. Nice to get rid of a knight, heavy unit, plus have Nurgle demons or so. That's the only hope you got sometimes, especially against something with a high toughness and regeneration ability and stuff. We have the Wind of Death, which allows you, when casting 12+, you roll a d6 for every enemy unit on the table. On a 4+, the unit suffers a wound with no armor save allowed. Now, these wounds, they go into creating a new spirit host within 12 inches of the vampire. And these are where you'll see me use the spirit host, only if I get the spell. Not too shabby. It's fun, though, especially if you're playing horde armies and they have, like, 20 friggin' units, and you're gonna get to roll 20 dice, I mean, against 20 different units, and, yeah, wound's a wound, but it gives you a spirit host, and it gives you something a little bit... It gives you something a little bit fun to play with. And, summon Undead Horde. It can be cast in one or two ways. It can create a new zombie unit with 5d6 models. As well as for the raised dead. Or it allows you to replenish 3d6 wounds across any number of friendly units or characters. Not shabby, but the strength of your army is really... It's called a Vampire Count Book for a reason. It's the vampires and the spells you can do with them. Don't be too ballsy with your vampires unless you know you can. But when you can... No guts, no glory, man. That's it for Vampire Counts. I do play them. I do love them. I think they're the most finest fantasy army out there. And with that, we'll wrap up for today. We'll see you next time. And just remember, if you're not having fun, stop playing the game. Till next time.
Yeah.